But I think it was like 40, 50 bucks and like a food minimum or drink minimum. But yeah, they made that money back that night. But I was mad about that. That leads into what I was going to tell you happened. I'll see if you saw this. Did you see WWE has partnered with Fandango?
Yep.
To have the PLEs in movie theaters. That's actually pretty dope.
Yeah, I was actually throwing this in the rundown. I didn't, but like, would this work for other sports? I was thinking, that's where my mind was. Like, I don't know if I'd go to the local theater to go watch Game 7 of the NBA Finals or anything like that.
But I don't think, I don't think you would go watch the games anywhere, right?
It's a good point.
Like, you'd be in the house anyway.
Yeah.
Me, I like going to the sports bar. I'll get out a little bit. I think that's dope. I watched Mayweather Mosley in the movie theaters, and that was pretty dope. Obviously, in that fight, Mayweather got rocked, and in the second round, and the whole theater like got turned up. They were like, "Oh snap!" And I was sitting there like, "Yo, my dog's about to get knocked out. Are you for real?" And then he dominated the rest of the fight, and I was talking crazy, but it was a dope experience. I think it could work. It's the same thought process of a sports bar, except you have to buy tickets to go see these games. So you got to, $10. It's like a movie theater ticket. So $10, you still got to buy food or snacks and stuff like that. But I think it will work.
Yeah, I think for the PLEs, it's cool.
Yeah.
Because like you seen that place, Cosm, I think, where it's like, where you
the
can,
big screen?
The big screen, yeah, it's yeah. Almost like you're in there or that's whatever.
Fire.
Yeah.
That's fire right there. They got those. They need to get those, one of those out here in SAC. I think they got like maybe 10 of them or something.
They've got
like
one in LA, one in Texas. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fire. That works though. That worked. The one in LA for sure. I think like you're not just walking up and going in there. Like,
yeah.
For especially like a big game or something like that. You're not just walking up and getting in there. And there's like probably like a X amount of dollar minimum food wise that you got to have. So yeah, I think that would work for other sports. They should try it.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Like, they do it for fights and stuff like that. So if you were to do it for like bigger games during the NFL season, NBA season, I think that would work.
I agree. Trista Crick is supposed to pull up on us. We'll see what happens. You know, Trista, she's a free bird, a free soul. You know what I'm saying? She's a professional all the time, but I'm saying you don't know where Trista's at. Trista might be important.
She's pretty hyped about Dame being back.
Huh?
I said she's pretty hyped about Dame being back. I saw on Twitter.
As she should. Let bygones be bygones. This was a great move.
I was telling Dame last week that Damian Lillard, like when his career's all said and done, like we're not going to talk about him being a buck at all, I don't think.
No.
Like, we'll kind of just forget that couple years. And just, he was a lifelong Portland Trailblazer, like how you guys ignore Michael Jordan being with the Wizards. And stuff.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Even though it happened.
It didn't happen. It just didn't exist. Are you guys going to ignore when LeBron's a Mav for 1 year? Are you gonna...
No, because he's going to win a ring probably. It'll be cooler.
But yeah, man, there go Leezy in the house. Shout out Leezy, man. Leezy might have to pull up on me real quick if Trista don't pull up. But yeah, man, it feels right. It feels like that's how it should have been. You know, he should have never felt the need or felt like he had to leave Portland.
Well, yeah, he's doing the whole 10 toes stuff and all that. Yeah. It's like he signed his deal. He's like, okay, I'm ready to go now.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were talking about it when it was going on. I said, bro, it's happening. Like, before 2 years before it happened, I was like, yo, he's not going to stay here. I should go ahead, move on from him, do what he need to do. But him being able to come back, that's a good look. That's something that I love to see.
I don't really know what Portland's doing, though. Like, I think it's a nice story, but I don't know if...
But that doesn't bother me. Like, Dame comes back, he'll play.
Well, no, like, every point you bring him back, but it's just, I don't know if I believe
you think it,
buy into what they're building towards.
You think it affects the it stunts the growth maybe of what they're trying to do?
It could, but more so like when Dame's back, it's just how much of Dame is going to be like what we used to see and all that, and it's just you're going to insert him into the starting lineup and like is that yeah basically yeah is that going to stunt anyone else's growth or anything?
Yeah, Okay.
Because it's like, if you're just trying to find minutes for Dame because he's the hometown hero and this, this, and that, but he's not really Dame Lillard anymore, like, I feel like that's going to hurt you.
Yeah, he'll be a backup point. Like, worst case scenario, he might start. I don't know. But back, worst case scenario, he'll be a backup PG. I think it'll be okay. I think it'll be all right. Just got a text from Trista. Actually, she texted me at like 1 o'clock. I'm just now seeing it. She will not be on today. She's got, I ain't going to say because maybe she wants a surprise, but she got a nice little guest. I'm going to tap in. Joy Taylor, got to see what she's talking about. I see Leezy back there. If Leezy wants to come in, man, he can. It's his birthday month as well. You can pull up on me, Leezy. You know what I mean? Say what's up to the kid one time.
Yeah, Leezy's going to run in there right now.
All right. I didn't even know Leezy was going to be in here.
I know. Leezy just appeared right now.
Yeah.
They got a concert today.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. Leezy's in the building. Empty-handed.
Yeah. There's going to be pizza here.
I don't see no pizza in his hand. I don't know what's going on here. I thought we established it last time that's how we got to get things done around here. Leezy, you want to speak up for yourself? Here, let me put you on here so you can answer for yourself. Empty-handed?
What's good? What's up? What's up? Yo, what's up, KC? Happy birthday.
Hey, man, appreciate
July you cancers, we out here. Yes, let's indeed, go.
Man. Happy belated birthday to Leezy. Leezy had a rough call yesterday.
I did.
He had a rough call. What'd you say? What was the name? Max Raybeam?
Oh, yes. So check this out. Man. So Maxime Reynald, right?
Yes.
Okay. I kept messing up on his last name for whatever reason. It's not that hard, but I was messing up. Pause. And I was like, you know what? Max, he's known for shooting threes, Beam team, Maxime Raybeam. Mm-hmm. And check this out.
Okay.
It gets deeper. I hit up some. Well, okay.
Yeah, relax, dude. Okay. Like, you just got here.
I'm sorry. I'm all out of breath.
Pause again.
Well,
man, it's not that far.
Yeah, I know. You just
out of breath.
I was like, hey, Leezy, you can go in there if you want. He takes off in a sprint.
I was moving like Usain Bolt.
Man. Okay, but what's the revelation that you came up with here?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I hit up some of my friends from Primetime Colors. And spoiler alert, I'm trying to get a shirt made for Maxime Raybeam. Okay, I'm trying to make this a thing. I don't know if I got to talk to Mark Jackson, Deuce. I don't know who I got hit up to make this get some motion.
Mark Jackson? Why would you have to talk to Mark Jackson?
Calls the games. He's the one who could put it out in the atmosphere.
He means Mark Jones.
Mark Jones.
Damn it, Leezy.
Oh, hey, chat. It's my day after my birthday.
Leezy's flustered. Leezy's, it's not Friday. He wasn't ready.
I'm about to say, what has Mark Jackson got to do with Paul
Bill? Mark Jackson, yeah, the play-by-play guy.
Yeah, the play-by-play guy. Not the one for the Kings, though.
No. Okay. I mean, look, no. All right, man.
No, we can't. No, we can't give him a nickname.
Why not?
It's cursed on this show.
Well,
at least you can't do it on this show.
Jesse's kind of right about that.
Yeah.
Have I given anybody a nickname and they stay?
Sabonis
doesn't have a nickname.
No. We did the whole Daquan Jeffries thing. Like, Daquan Jeffries had a bit, and then literally, like, 2 days later, he got released.
Damn.
Nasty Boy's gone. He wanted to leave the country.
Yeah.
Hell.
Freeport is gone.
Freeport's gone.
Buddy Buckets.
Well, that was we didn't call him Buddy. There was one guy who called him Buddy Buckets.
I should have given him another nickname.
Oh, I'm sure he got one.
Even the team. We had the
Beam team.
Redeem Beam.
Oh.
Redeem Beam didn't work. Yeah, didn't make playoffs. It's tough.
Yeah. Beam team, obviously, like you mentioned.
Oh, Kevin Herter. Well, we didn't give him Kayvon or Red Velvet.
We definitely called him Kayvon a lot.
We did. Yeah.
Either way, he had a nickname. Yeah, we referred to him as his nickname, and that just didn't work at all.
Damn.
Yeah, we can't give Maxime a nickname.
Yeah, you're right. Because I'm down with Maxime, so we can't put that on him.
I like nicknames.
I do too, you know? It makes them pop.
I do. We were talking about Dame Lillard going back to Portland. What's your thoughts on it, man? Like Jesse said, are you going to not even think about the Bucks time, the Dame Lillard Bucks time when you think of Dame Lillard?
Honestly, yeah, I'm not going to think about that. It's funny, before I came in here, I was looking on Instagram and they have those posters like, hey, players in jerseys you don't remember. Like Patrick Ewing on the Magic. D-Rose on the Pistons. Sadly, it might be.
D-Rose on the Pistons is crazy. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Everyone. Well, you might remember this one. D-Wade on the Cavs.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So there's just certain players. Like, I'm not going to remember it. What's his big moment on the Bucks, you know?
Well.
Sadly.
Well. Yeah, he's got one.
His moments on the Bucks are just Tyrese talking trash to him.
Yeah. Well, hey, beat him twice.
No, guys, he's got one. Might be his only one. He did hit like a 38-foot buzzer beater on you know who.
Oh yeah, I remember now. Yeah, that was a turning point.
After some of our guards missed field goals or free throws.
Low key looking back, that's around when the vibes really was going down for Beam Team. Like, that's when things started cracking. You know, that's when the beam started getting broken up a little bit.
Kevin Herter had a great game that game. Yeah. He woke up out of his slumber. He had the single to right field. We thought he was back.
It's a seeing eye single.
Yeah, we thought he was back. He had a great game. De'Aaron Fox tied the game, sent it into overtime. We were up by four or so, maybe three or four. Malik Monk missed a free throw. He might have missed two free throws. De'Aaron Fox made one of two and it put the Kings up by two, and Dame Lillard came down and yuck at the buzzer from like 38 feet away, put the Dame time signal up and everything. That's like the only moment I can remember from Dame in Milwaukee.
Hey, Casey, random question, because we was talking about Ty and Dame. Who has more bigger like moments in the playoffs? And it's easy, you want to like look, he'd probably say Dame, but I don't know if he's had as many as Ty, because Ty just had him back to back to back to back.
No, that's probably Tyrese Halliburton when you talk about big moments in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's probably Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah. Dames are spread out.
Dame's got the shot against the Thunder. He's got the rocket shot.
Yeah. That's two.
Really about
that's
two.
It. That's two.
Yeah, that's really about it. I mean, he's had some big games in the playoffs that I don't remember. Like, I don't remember what his stat line was. It was probably something crazy against Denver. Remember that four overtime game against Denver?
I remember that. Hey, I was watching that live at I was watching it live somewhere outside, and it was a good game, man. That was wild. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, that. He did have the bubble when he went crazy. And he said, you know why I'm here.
Yeah.
He had that. And that was the bubble, though. That wasn't playoff. I was trying to think if that was a play-in situation.
I don't know if that was playoffs or play-in. But it was.
It wasn't. I know for sure it wasn't playoffs because they played.
The Lakers, right?
Yeah, and they got waxed. He actually might have went crazy in game one against the Lakers or game two.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost in like five. But you know why I'm here was trying to get into the playoffs.
Wasn't he like the bubble, like MVP or the regular bubble season or something like
crazy.
That?
Yeah. I think they were playing Brooklyn in one of those pool play games or whatever. And he went crazy. He might have had like 50, 60 points in that situation. Once again, that wasn't playoffs.
Good knowledge, bro. He was bubble MVP.
There we go.
Completely forgot that was even a thing.
I wonder if it's on his basketball reference.
Yeah, bubble MVP.
Yeah. Is it on his basketball reference?
It should be.
Let me look that up.
Shouldn't be, actually.
Is this like summer league rings? Like, they shouldn't get rings. It's worse than
a summer league
ring. Yeah. Man. Bubble MVP is crazy.
I know a lot of people don't respect the bubble.
Bubble MVP is not up there.
Yeah, if it ain't on basketball reference, then it's good.
That's cold.
It's good. But remember when he went crazy against the Nuggets? Not the triple overtime or quadruple overtime game, but he was going so crazy that he missed a shot in Austin Rivers, thank God.
Remember that?
He was going nuts. I think they lost that game. I can't remember. But to your original question, I don't think he has those shots, those singular shots that Tyrese has. He may have, like I just listed, remember when he went crazy and he did this? He may have that. But the singular shots, I think Tyrese has more of those.
Yeah, he has a lot of moments, but not as big singular shots like that, like the actual buzzer beaters. Yeah,
for sure. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to touch a little bit on the WNBA. Because I dove into the situation a little bit more, and some people are just sounding ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I'll break it down a little bit more. I think Lizzie will still be around. Lizzie might have to work, so I don't know. Man, he might not be around, but either way, we'll be back. It's KC Day. Cancer season coming to an end. We'll talk about it a little bit more on D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. We've got a run in. The reports were that Trista Crick was not going to be with us on this Tuesday because she got big things popping. But this is why she's my girl. She said, nah, man, I got to make some time for my boy on KC Day. So Trista Crick, she's right here on D-Lo and KC, man. I appreciate you, TK.
Yeah, you guys, his cameras were off. We got...
It's crazy.
All homie looking like Jalen Brunson. We got black screens. We got people in my Twitter mentions being like, don't do it on Kenny's birthday.
Oh, see. See, look at people looking out. And TK, she responds to the people, man. The people need a shout out, man. I'm actually really glad you're here because I've been building up towards this for the last 24 hours because I need somebody that knows the ins and outs of this situation, Paul's, to break this thing down. And I was out of town over the weekend. I was out in Charlotte. And
Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte, North Carolina. I like Charlotte. I had never been there before. It was good times. But I, from a distance, because it was a family reunion, there was a lot going on. I was the only parent there with the two kids because the wife stayed home. So the two-year-old was running crazy. I couldn't really dive into some stuff. But I did see the WNBA All-Star Game with the shirts. Pay us what you owe us. And I was like, okay, pay them. Like, I know the gist of what's going on with the labor negotiations. They should be getting paid more. But when I get home, I'm going to really dive into what's going on. So come to find out, and I don't know, maybe it was just the circles I was around and the people I was talking. There was like a lot of people that were like, yo, these girls are crazy. What are they talking about? They don't make no money. They're losing money for the last X amount of years. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, there's so many things wrong with what you guys are saying. But then I remember the conversation that we had a couple months ago. And I remember you saying it. I remember looking for it before and after about like, there's no real definitive books about the WNBA. So this whole, we're just losing money is something that always kind of comes up that has never really been proven. And you called cap on the whole we're losing money thing months ago. And I just kind of wanted you to revisit that and explain like why you're not necessarily buying all that.
Well, first and foremost, what I will say is I don't understand why everybody, you know, fans, normal people, why we side with the owners instead of the people on the ground. Like, yeah. Why do we want to align with billionaires? I don't get that. I really don't. I don't know why we want Caitlin Clark to make less money than like a teacher in New York City. I don't know why we feel that that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Regardless of what the economic situation is, there is no league without the talent. There's plenty of, let's just go off of the incorrect assumption that the league is losing money. Uber, Lyft, losing money until last year. How much is the CEO making? $73 million. Is that fair? Are we aligned? Is anybody saying like, hey, you should make $75,000 if you work for a company that's not profitable? Profitability is a very sneaky business because you can do a lot of things that make you seem not profitable for tax reasons, to pay your labor less because you're in growth mode and you're reinvesting those pieces of your revenue back into the company. There's a lot of little funny money stuff that changes what profitability means, mm-hmm. right? Secondarily, let's talk about, so I don't think anybody should be like rooting for Joe Tsai.
WNBA. Have you seen, real quick, because I want to get to that next point, but have you seen some of the same things that I've seen where people have been like, yo, they're tripping, they don't deserve it. And I was kind of blown away by that. I was like, you guys for real? This how you really feel? That's crazy.
It's really like giving, I'm going to say something controversial.
Do it.
It's giving like Civil War whites in the South who don't have slaves, but kind of just like want to have them, so they're like totally down. You know what I mean? Like, why are we aspiring to be owners of a WNBA franchise so that we can just like pay our labor nothing?
Right.
Like, why are all these people why are there so many people jumping to the side of those who are improperly paying? Why are we saying, oh well, these elite athletes shouldn't get paid X, Y, or Z? Mm-hmm. By the way, Dana White is considered one of the greatest scumbags in terms of like sports ownership. And what he pays his fighters, and he's paying them double the percentage that these WNBA players are getting paid. The minuscule amount of revenue share that these players are getting paid in the WNBA is freaking, I almost cussed on the stream, is insane. And it's not even the whole package that they get pieces of. Like patches on the jerseys don't go into the bucket.
Right.
You have to sell out this amount of games before ticket sales go into the bucket. Right. It's a lot of like if this, then only that. And they only get 9% of the smaller bucket. the NBA, the NFL, all of these leagues, all these men's leagues, they get 50-50. And the NBA for 30, 40 years wasn't making money. They were not, quote unquote, profitable. And they were still giving 50% of the revenue to men. And nobody was saying, hey, let's bring in the scabs. We don't need to see, you know, so-and-so play basketball for this amount of money. Like, people were getting paid $750,000 in 1979 in the men's game. And they weren't profitable. We're not, the women's game is making 10% of that in 2025. Okay, so it's just absolutely banana time.
Yeah.
Also, let's talk about the finances of it for real, for real. Mm-hmm. So an expansion fee for to have an NBA or WNBA expansion team, WNBA expansion team is $250 million. If it was such a losing business, why are there people running around the block to get in?
Right, right.
What, if it's such a bad business, then why am I having to pay cash up front, 250 M's tomorrow to get into the Toronto franchise, to the Blazer, or to the Portland franchise, to the Philly franchise, to the Cleveland franchise? There are 14 groups lined around the block to get any one of those franchises, and they were happy to do it.
They're turning people away.
They are turning people away. Yeah. Joe Tsai, I found out this during Summer League. This is going to be some breaking news. Mm. I found out Joe Tsai has been said to have bought the New York Liberty for $14 million. That's what's been reported. Mm. I heard it two separate times from two different people in two different cities that Joe Tsai actually bought the New York Liberty from James Dolan for a dollar. And it is now currently worth upwards of $400 million.
Wow.
And when you sell a franchise or there's an expansion franchise, how much of that goes to the players?
None.
Zero. None of that goes to the players. So I don't care how unprofitable or profitable you are, when you turn around and sell that franchise, you're making bread. If there's a new expansion franchise, which keeps coming and keeps coming and it's going to keep coming, that money goes to all of the owners. All the money that the NBA has been, quote unquote, subsidizing the women's league, which is like $500,000 here. It's not like they've been paying a lot of bread to, right, quote unquote, subsidize the women's game. A few expansion franchises, Toronto, Portland, Golden State, you've gotten all your money back for all the years you've been, quote unquote, subsidizing and more. And then when you sell your team, you're probably way up from that as well. You're talking about owners who bought in at like $2 million and now it's worth $400 million. I don't want to hear you crying about paying these women what they deserve. And they don't have health care. They don't have pensions. They don't have child care. There's a lot of stuff that they're just fighting for in addition to at least some semblance of fairness and revenue share. The fact, though, that people want, they really don't know at all what they're talking about.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And then on top of that, you've got what always happens. I think people need to start investigating and researching and doing their homework on how labor relations go. Here's how it goes. Labor gets treated as unfairly as they are, like as they allow. Right? Mm-hmm. It's what we've seen in the coal mines, what we've seen in every industry until there's a union that comes in. They say, hey, you're treating us unfairly. We want something to be done about it. Mm-hmm. And then there's a fight. And then the company that is treating their labor unfairly does everything under the sun to continue to treat their labor as unfairly as humanly possible. Because that's the way that they're the most profitable, and that's capitalism at its core, right? Mm-hmm. So what are the buttons that these companies usually choose to push in labor negotiations in a time where there's a new CBA, collective bargaining agreement, and the unions?
I don't really have it. I ain't really got it.
We don't have money, though. Like, we're broke. We're just barely hanging on by a thread. We really can't. We wish we could pay you, but we can't pay you. And then they start, like, saying little slick things in the media, like, yeah, WNBA's been losing money for, like, forever. You know, it's $40 million last year that we lost, and $50 million we lost 5 years ago each year as well. And it's like, well, we know there's a huge boom in Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
But you only lost $10 million less? So what? Like, the math isn't even close to math, and even if you were losing. Listen, they're not slick. And we don't even have anybody opening up the books to say, hey, this is what it looks like. Right. Remember, in Major League Baseball, we didn't know what time it was until Atlanta was a publicly traded organization, and they had to open up their books, and we were like, oh, snap. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're making hella bread.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just am quite confused by all these people who, one, haven't researched a thing, are willing to take the NBA's word for it because they sent that number to Business Insider, and then Business Insider ran with it, and then Bleacher Report ran. It's all the same number from the same one quote from the same BS thing. Like, what are we doing?
And I don't even know. I'll look again, because I remember I was having this conversation when we talked about it originally a couple months. It's not, I could be wrong, but I don't even know if it's a quote from the NBA. It is just something that just kind of gets floated out there. Like, reportedly, they lost $50 million a year. Nobody's ever said it. Nobody's ever fact-checked it. I saw the other day Bobby Marks was talking about with the NBA, they get an email or, you know, a pamphlet or something at the start of every year that says, this is the money that's come in for the league. This is basketball-related income. This is where it goes. This is where everything is. Books are damn near wide open in that situation. He's like, there's nothing for the WNBA. Literally nothing. So just, once again, I don't even know who's saying that. I don't know where it originated that they're losing $40 million a year.
Some of them the league is calling Business Insider and be like, hey, I just want to let you know the league's not profitable. So that now when Nafisa Collier is like, hey, you guys should pay us 50% of revenues, they're like, we've been losing $40 million every single year. Now that we're starting to finally be up, we got to have more years that are up before we start to pay you. And it's like, nah, we're not doing that.
It's so crazy. And there's two things there. Number one, like you said, I think you might have heard it was – I hadn't heard what they're asking for, so I don't know. 50%
is whatever. I don't know what the number is in terms of – I asked Nafisa, like, hey, do you guys have a minimum number for revenue share? And she said, we do, but I'm not going to share that with you because that obviously gives all of our leverage away.
Mm. But I know for a fact it cannot be 9%. That is crazy.
Should not be 20% either, because that's UFC stuff.
No, to me, it should. That's the bar. That 18%. That's UFC. That's the bar. Like, we shouldn't go any lower than that, and we should probably be around. I would just say, like,
if you
I'd say
at,
40, but man, I don't know if that's asking too much. Anywhere 35
if you look
to 40.
At revenue brought in per WNBA team as a percentage of total franchise value, it is a higher percent than revenue to franchise value in the NBA.
It's crazy. And then you talk about the expansion. $250 million for each franchise that's coming in. That's the fee. I think in the last 3 years.
$750 million, Kenny, that's come in the last 12 months divided by 12.
Well, check it. Because I'm going even further. Isn't it six teams over the course of like 5 or 6 years?
Yes.
We're looking
yes.
at $1.5 billion that they don't have to share with nobody. Like, that's what you're pocketing. And that's before
yes.
we talk about your
that's
$4 billion.
You sell your own team. That's just net inflow.
We didn't even talk about the TV deal. The TV deal is what, $3, $4 billion?
I think it's 2.1. But again, that's bad business. That was like, I can't hold you and be like, hey, we should get paid less because you're not handling your business correctly. We're just hooping.
Right.
And you need to figure out a way to pay us. That's why they get paid off of revenue instead of profitability. Mm-hmm. You figure right. everything else out.
Yeah, that's your job.
Your job. Our job is to hoop.
Yeah. But I was just baffled once I started to dive into this and hear different people about, like you said, the amount of people who literally have no idea what they're talking about, like no clue. And I'm not even saying like I'm not a self-deprecating person. I'm not going to be like, I'm an idiot. I'm intelligent, but I didn't go to school for this. I don't see the books. I don't know everything, but it's common sense. It's common sense that, yeah, maybe you guys should fall off, you know, the whole wagon of they're losing $50 million a year, or the fact that they're asking for more money has nothing to do with the fact that they quote unquote weren't profitable for 20 years, 30 years. We're talking about what they just did to become profitable. Like,
yep.
that these women did that. They're the ones who did that. And you're going to be making more money moving forward. So I absolutely. And I'll say this last thing too. Sorry about you, Lizzie.
No, you're good.
I'll say this. When you talk about negotiating, when you talk about trying to get the most out of a CBA and get the most out of a labor deal, absolutely this is the time to be asking for everything. because number one, you've done the work as the players to expand this league and make this league what it's starting to become. Number two, WNBA, because of your expansion, you've promised these investors that there's going to be a product. You're on the hook to provide them a product.
It's like, yo, we don't have a team. We just paid $250 million. We don't have a team.
Exactly.
Are you serious? We got scabs. Anyway, also real quick before I go. The fact that they're trying to stop them from playing overseas during the off season and unrivaled when they're making literally $225,000 to $250,000 of average salary in that 8 weeks of time, baby. On three, you got me all the way effed up. You got me. I'll just sit this one. I'll just play on Rival. We'll just have multiple on Rival leagues, and we'll see what time it is.
That's it. That's it. I know you got to go, man. I'm going to let you get ready for what you got to do. I appreciate you, TK.
Much appreciate you, TK.
Thank you. Take care. That's my girl, Trista Crick, Heat Check Podcast. You guys want to check this next one out?
Yeah.
You guys want to check this next one out? Because, like I said, I'm not going to say it yet because, you know, that's just not my place.
Oh, yeah.
She got to make sure she handles the promotion and everything that she needs to do, you know, the way she wants to do it. Mm-hmm. But I know who it is.
Oh.
I'm going to check it out.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to definitely check it out. And then when you hear like kind of what we was talking about, like, hey, this is, I don't think I've heard from this person lately. You're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I need to see what she I need to see what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. See, now you got me interested. I'm
I need to see what they're talking about. So, yeah, shout out to my girl TK, man, for pulling up on me. And I'm super happy that I was able to have that conversation with her because I know she knows the ins and outs of that situation. And like I said, Leezy, there was just so many people that were saying the dumbest stuff about the WNBA. And if you don't watch the WNBA, if you're not feeling it, if you
don't like it, don't watch it. Okay.
That's cool.
But don't sit up here and try to like tear down these women because they want a better salary when they're the ones out there playing the game, you know? 100%. Don't try to bring them down.
And even to that point, don't not know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the thing that got me.
And loud about it.
Yeah,
too.
If you like knew the facts and you were stating the facts and they were on your side and you knew what you was talking about as far as this money goes and the way that negotiations go, cool. Like I understand that people talk about look, even they talk about losing money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's the case. Nothing adds up to losing that amount of money every year. It just doesn't add up. But I'll tell you right now, I don't know. They might be losing X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
I don't know. But here's what I do know. Not you, Leezy.
Yeah.
But I know you don't know. You have no idea if they're losing money or not. You know why? Because we broke it down when we was talking about it. There is nothing definitive or real that says that. I looked.
Because
I was having conversations about, hey, can I find an article that quotes Adam Silver or somebody else saying, yeah, we lose X amount of dollars. There's not, it's just this, I don't want to say it's a tall tale, but it's this narrative that is out there that everybody just kind of leans on. Even when people are writing a new article about it, they'll be like, the league reportedly loses $50 million a year.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where'd you get that from? Well, sources.
What sources? Like, you got to cite your sources.
Who said that? Like, can I go see this? And I'm, like I said, I'm not saying it does. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. And people talk about things.
And definitive
way. Really nobody knows. It's just a lot of hearsay. They talk about it, like you said, in a definitive way.
Mm-hmm.
And you just end up sounding ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that whole situation was mind boggling.
And it was kind of like TK was saying, like the WNBA is in one of the best places it's been. When you think about the players from Angel Reese to Caitlin Clark, to Kelsey Plum, to whoever, you know, they're in a better space now. And they're still talking about, oh, well, we're losing money, this and that. And no one can show you how much or where this and that's coming from. It's a little wild.
It's not
adding up.
It's not adding up. Like I said, I'm not here to say that. Once again, I want to reiterate, I'm not one of those people that, you know, when they try to make a point, be like, I know I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer. No, I'm intelligent. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm intelligent. But I also respect that there's people who understand this stuff more than I do, that have more information than I do, more understanding of how these things work. So I'm not saying I'm on that level, but bare basics, if, like I said, if they're buying the, I don't know, the aces or something like
aces
that.
Aces for life, right?
Aces for life. if they're buying the Aces or the Atlanta Dream for 20, let's just say $25 million.
Okay.
That's what they bought for them. That's what they paid to get the Ace, the Atlanta Dream.
That's how you get the team, yeah.
And you have a $2 billion TV deal coming in, and you've got at least six expansion teams coming on where they're mm-hmm. all coming in at $250 million apiece.
Detroit, didn't they just get their team?
Detroit got one too. Yeah. How are you losing money? And you pay these women nothing.
Yeah.
So if you were paying them like the contract that Devin Booker gets, I don't think you're losing money, but even I'll see that. Like, mm-hmm. okay, you got this coming in, but man, you got to pay Asia Wilson $80 million a year. So, yeah, it might balance out. You're paying them, some of them, less than six figures.
Yeah, it's like TK was saying. There's people with regular jobs making more than them, which is insane.
So if you are, let's do a quick math real quick. I don't even know if I can do it this quick on here. But $2 billion, let's see. I think I'm there. $2 billion divided by, I think they got like 14 teams. Everybody looks to be getting $140 million, if I did this math right, off the TV deal.
Hey,
and that's not including the $1.5 billion that they're going to get collectively for all these expansion fees. Mm-hmm. Once again, how are you not making money?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can explain it to me and show the books, then I'll fall back. I'm just telling you, I don't understand how you're not making money with all that money lined up.
Yeah.
And like I said, you're paying the basketball players are only making 9% of the revenue.
Yeah. I just don't like the attack on the game as a whole. Like the people out here taking bets on Angel Reese if she's going to miss her first shot. People out here
there's
forever.
There's an attack on only one player. Or excuse me, there's an attack on everybody but one player.
Well,
they don't attack Caitlin.
No.
And I'm not saying they should.
Well,
I'm not saying that, trust me, I'm not saying that they should start attacking Caitlin.
Yeah.
But they The funny thing about this, Lizzie, is they hold her in a certain esteem
mm-hmm.
that does no help for her or the league.
Yeah. Casey, do you feel like it might be a thing? I'm asking a question because I don't know. Mm-hmm. Does it feel like off the court people don't go at Caitlin, but maybe on the court they do a little bit more? Like, because didn't Kelsey just kind of say something recently, kind of take a little shade at her?
So even that, and I watched that clip twice.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you. I did not take that as shade. Once again, I think people hear what they want to hear sometimes.
Yeah.
Excuse me, hear what they want to hear sometimes. And maybe I missed it. Maybe there was shade going on. But the quote, she was talking about them getting together and agreeing
pay us to what
wear
you
that
shirt.
Shirt.
Yeah.
And she said, number one, she said, I want to be clear, there was nobody from Team Clark there.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if people... Once again, they talk about things that they don't even know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
When she says Team Clark, she's not talking about Caitlin Clark's business team.
No, she's talking about
it was Team Clark and Team Collier. That's they picked teams.
Like when it was Bron and Curry, it's kind of same thing. Yeah.
So when she says Team Clark, she's saying nobody from that team,
mm-hmm.
we didn't let them know they weren't at the meeting. We had this from Team Collier.
Yeah.
So I think people are looking at it like, oh, she's saying nobody from Caitlin's Clark team, like business team, was there. That's not what she's saying.
She's talking about the whole squad.
She's talking about the whole team.
Okay,
she said we got together mm-hmm. as a group on this team to wear the shirts, and that's where we talked about it.
Mm, yeah.
The other thing about it is, if you listen to the quote, she's like, Sabrina said something about it and said something like, we talked about it later. We weren't told or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelsey was like, I was just trying to make light of the situation. Like everybody knew what we were going to do at some point. But once again, and this is why people on the court, to your point, and in the WNBA circles in the league have a problem with Caitlin, because the second somebody says something crazy, or they think somebody's saying something crazy about Caitlin, everybody, the cow herds and all these other people
got
to run to her
thing.
Defense. And why are they being so mean to her? When that's not even what's going on. You know what I mean? And it builds resentment.
Yeah.
So
I can see that.
We got to take a quick break. Shout out to my boy Abe. He just came to the window with a happy
Sir,
birthday sign.
Abe Cannon, the man.
Yes, indeed, man. we'll talk about this a little bit more. I want to hear what you guys got to say, man. Tap in on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line, 916-909-1320. How do you feel about everything that's going on with the conversation that's going on with the WNBA players wanting a better piece of the pie, more piece of the pie revenue-wise? And I also want to touch on Major League Baseball as well, because I got an outlook on Major League Baseball that I don't think gets talked about enough. I think Major League Baseball is cooking right now. Absolutely cooking.
Let's see.
We'll talk about it, man. So once again, if you want to hear about that, I want to hear your voice too. I want to hear what you got to say. Once again, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Let me hear from you. ESPN 1320, D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. It's KC Day.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to my boy Leezy. He rocking with me for a little bit as well, man. And fellow Cancer, once again, acknowledge us.
Acknowledge me.
And also, as the main event of cancer season, as the showstopper of cancer season that I am, and the tribal chief of cancer season that I am, I need you to acknowledge me, Leezy.
Put the ones up. Acknowledge KC. Thank
you. Acknowledge me.
Hey, KC, quick question.
Yes, sir.
Now, CC, I'm the opener. You're the main event. Our guy Deuce's birthday in July.
Well, so Leezy, here's... And Leezy be showing love, man. That's my dog, man. So
yeah.
I don't want to do this to Leezy, but Leezy, you ain't the opener, big dog.
Oh, no.
That's not how that goes. The opener would be whoever's birthday is on June 23rd.
The earliest. Oh, okay.
When does it start? I think it starts on the 22nd.
Yeah.
It usually doesn't go 22nd to 22nd. I think it starts maybe on the 21st. Man. So that's the opener.
Oh, okay.
The June birthday is the opener.
Yeah.
You guys, you know, you're Jesse, are you still, I don't know if Jesse,
working.
His birthday, Leezy's birthday was on the 21st. Mm-hmm. What match is that?
Like, what you mean?
Like, I'm the main event.
Yeah.
I'm the last birthday in cancer season. So I'm the Leezy's main event.
Mid-card then.
Hey, okay.
Is it mid-card?
Let's go.
Well, who's
you
first?
You know,
Deuce is the sixth, I think.
Deuce is the opener, then Leezy's mid-card. Yeah.
You know, Deuce ain't the opener, because the opener, the Zodiac signs start on the 21st or 22nd of each month. Cancer season starts on, like, June 22nd. So technically, no disrespect, this is my guy, but technically, Deuce is a mid-card.
Oh, he's calling you mid, Deuce.
July 4th, if it starts on June 22nd and ends on July 22nd, uh-huh. And Deuce's birday is July 4th,
that's a lot of math right
that
now.
That makes him like the bathroom match.
That's tough. That's tough.
I didn't make the rules.
On the bathroom match?
On the bathroom match, though.
On the bathroom match?
Deuces.
Oh, well, no, that's okay.
I mean.
That's tough.
I stay and watch Deuce's birthday. I watch.
No, you just call him the bathroom match. No, bro, just hopped on the show and you call him the bathroom. You really call him the bathroom match.
Undercard, you know.
I watch. I don't get up from my seat for Deuce's birthday. I stay there. I watch the match. I'm tapped in. I don't go nowhere. I'm just saying that's what other people might say at that point of the WrestleMania.
Hey, KC, do you remember this old wrestling thing? I think it was called Sunday Night Heat or whatever, or something like that. It'll come on sometimes before the pay-per-view. So you watch Sunday Night Heat, whatever, and then boom, then the pay-per-view would start sometime.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Deuce on Sunday Night Heat.
Damn. All right, man. Like, no, you guys are wrong because, well, the premise of what it is right. But I'm watching Deuce's birthday.
Okay.
I'm not going nowhere. I'm staying right there. I'm watching the match. It's not break time when it's Deuce's birthday. Maybe somebody on July 7th or something like that, I'll go do that. But not on Deuce's birthday. Sir.
All eyes on Deuce.
I'm watching. But so Leezy, you would be like the IC belt match.
The Intercontinental title. I'll take that, yeah, you know.
You'd be like the IC belt. Or you'd be like now they got the two different belts. You'd be the champion that Seth Rollins was.
Oh, what's that, man? See, I'm in and out of wrestling. See, growing up, I was a big Chris Jericho guy, Jericho-holic. That was me. Watch EJ break the walls down. Nowadays, we got Seth Rollins and whoever. Who's the one guy you don't like? He's
Kevin Owens. I do not like Kevin Owens.
Jesse?
Kevin Owens is fine. I just don't. He's just he's not what everybody else says he is.
I hear Kevin Owens slander all the time.
Kevin Owens is very good for what he does.
Yeah.
He's very good for what he does. He's just not one of them top guys.
Didn't he have a match with Stone Cold or something like that? And they didn't even like really wrestle. Yeah, he
tried to steal his finisher. That's another thing we don't ever talk about. Kevin Owens just stealing Stone Cold's finisher for no reason.
Copyright.
The hell are you doing?
Yeah, be original. Be you, man. Come on.
Miss Mac 10 in the chatty house, she says, she is the opener. June 23rd is when cancer season starts. Shout out Miss Mac 10. That's how we start off the pay-per-view. That's how we start off WrestleMania with Miss Mac 10. So, you know, that's always a big match right there. The opener is a big-time match. Leezy.
Coming to the ring, Miss Mac 10.
Yeah, there's Leezy.
Women's champion.
Because my boy Leezy, he didn't show some love all day long, man. Shout out to my boy Leezy. I hate that I had to break it down that way because he's showing love.
That's right.
Leezy, not the opener, bro. You like the IC match before the main event.
Hey, before you become world champion, you got to be Aaron Cottonelle champion. You know, there's levels to it.
But here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Your birthday's never going to change.
Oh.
You're never going to be the main event.
Oh, no. This is painful. You're never going to be the main event.
I'm going to title that today's show.
Yo.
The birthday's never going to change. You can't move up in this league, in this federation.
Jesse, just make the thumbnail me super blurry with you're never be the main event. That's it right there. We'll make clips out of it.
Shout out to my man, Leezy, man. Big ups to him, man. We were talking before the break about just the WNBA situation, them fighting for a new collective bargaining agreement.
Mm-hmm. Pay us what you owe us.
Pay us what you owe us, wearing those shirts, and how a lot of the general public. I shouldn't say that. I've just seen more than I expected of people in the media, general public, saying stuff like, why do they deserve more money? The league has lost money for years.
Yeah.
They're getting exactly what they deserve. They actually should be paying money back for all the money that was lost in the past. And it's just that people that just blindly go with they've lost X amount of dollars for X amount of years without doing any research and understanding the situation, it just boggles my mind.
I'm with TK on that. Like, why are you so obsessed with the money and protecting these owners and this and that, and you don't even have the resources, the information? You don't know what you're talking about. You're just so definitive. They're losing money. These women don't deserve it. They're ungrateful. Rah, rah, rah. That's wild. Come on, man.
And once again, I'm not saying, I'm telling you and everybody else, I don't know if they lost money or not. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
It absolutely could happen. But I don't know that. I don't know if they lost $40 million a year. I don't know. But people who are so definitive in talking about it in a way that is, I know for a fact, I saw it on Business Journal, and I saw sources said that they lose X amount of dollars. I know for a fact you don't know if they do or not.
Yeah.
I'm telling you I don't know either.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also telling you that was, TK pointed it out, a number of different people have pointed it out. I think the NBA wasn't in the black until 45 years into their existence.
Mm.
I believe it was 1979. I read or heard somebody say 1979, the year before Bird and Magic got there. They had still lost $13 million. They were in a deficit of $13 million a year. They were losing $13 million. The NBA was.
Yeah.
The NBA was not getting, there were certain places that were getting fans on a regular basis, but I've seen the video of nobody at these games. We all know the NBA Finals was on tape delay at that time. Tape delay. You couldn't even get live television for your NBA Finals 40 years into your existence.
Yeah. When did David Stern take over? Because that's when that thing started to change. When Stern came over and cleaned things up.
Stern had a ton to do with it, but the origins to me was with Bird and Magic. That was 1980.
Yeah.
And when they came through, that's when, I still don't think they made money that the first year they were there, but that's when things started to take a turn. That's where you can point to it started to take a turn.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact time, but the NFL for the first, 30, 40 years of their existence wasn't turning a profit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even during that time, the basketball-related income for the players in the NBA and the NFL were so much higher than the 9% that the WNBA players are making or getting from BRI. It's ridiculous that anyone would look at that situation and say, no, don't give them what they're owed yeah. in that situation. Also, people are being so angry and being so definitive about they shouldn't deserve X amount of dollars without even knowing what they're asking for.
Yeah, it's people that don't even watch the game. They don't even watch the games, and they just, oh, these women don't deserve
that. They don't watch the game, but Lacey,
yeah,
they don't know what they're asking for.
Yeah,
they don't. They're assuming, and they're just, I don't know where their mindset is, where they're just going with the fact that they wear shirts that say pay us what you owe us, and that means these women are asking for $80 million a year contracts.
Yes. Yeah, they just assume.
They have no idea what they're asking for. Yeah,
pay us what you owe us. Oh, she wants to be paid the same as Devin Booker right. or Kevin Durant or this and that. No, they just want maybe a wage that goes with what they're actually doing, you know?
That's it.
Yeah.
And somehow that is frowned upon or that's unacceptable mm-hmm. or anything like that. And I saw Rob Parker who No, to be honest with you, I don't listen to Rob Parker often.
I used to. Not anymore. A long time ago.
I don't listen to him often, but he's one of those guys that, you know, he says things that I don't agree with at all. Yeah. And then he says things that he's spot on. Most notably, RG3. he was spot on with that. He didn't miss.
Yeah. He got that one.
Rob Parker also, you know, says things, you know, he follows baseball and does some stuff on baseball that, you know, I like. So I don't bring his name up to be like, oh, he's a clown or I don't listen to him or nothing like that. It's just something that I heard from him. He's been definitive on the side of that it's crazy that these women are asking for more money. He labels it welfare and says the W in WNBA stands for welfare and all this other stuff. And
that's
he
wild.
Regurgitates the same non non-proven narrative out there that they've lost X amount of dollars for X amount of years. And I would say this to Rob Parker. Once again, you don't even know what they're asking for.
Yeah.
If they're making 9% of the basketball-related income and they're asking for 25%,
mm-hmm.
that is still so much lower than the rest of professional sports. That you don't even that could be what they're asking for.
Yeah,
they could be asking for 50, and I don't even think that's crazy to ask for because, like I said, and I broke down earlier, these owners are about to make at least $1.5 billion, if my math is right,
with a B,
off expansion fees that these players don't get any of.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about BRI basketball related income, we're talking about the TV deal, we're talking about merchandise, we're talking about ticket sales. These owners are about to get damn near a free $1.5 billion off of expansion fees.
Yeah.
Or somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. I got to count how many expansion teams they're actually going to have in the next couple of years. But it's somewhere around 4 to 6.